It's showtime, folks!
Ooh, so this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
Hello, happy Tuesday. Welcome into the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios, a fan-run radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, FM 105.7, AM 1340, streaming live on the Fan Run Radio at foxsportsknoxville.com and coming to you live in video via Periscope. Tanner Carson, Malcolm Harris, Justin Feist, and Stetson Marlin are in the house as we are still, I don't know how y'all feel, but I still at least somewhat riding the wave post-Mississippi State victory. I know reality is going to hit me in the face pretty soon, but until then, I'm still living slightly in la-la land. I don't know how y'all are feeling.
Yeah, this Mississippi State win is going to carry me probably even through the Bama game just because I have zero expectation of, you know, looking kind of great at all. I know that's pessimistic, but I mean, it's Bama. So Mississippi State felt like a big win, and I'm going to milk it as long as I can for, you know, emotional support.
Stetson, buddy, how are you doing? Were you in attendance Saturday?
I was not in attendance, actually. I had a couple friends come up here, and we watched a game at a friend's house and just hung out over there all day. And my brother did get to go to the game, though. He did stuff with the photography, so he was on the field. And
okay.
He said he had a great time just watching all that.
Shout out to your bro. What'd you think about the game? Because you obviously, this is your first appearance of the week. Had a grand time yesterday, Stetson, recapping the win, talking about all the unsung players stepping up, making big plays. Tyler Bird, especially. I mean, Lord, you had guys like, I mean, Malcolm, help me name them all.
Matthew Butler, Kevon Bennett, Darrell Middleton,
Kenneth George,
Nigel. Warrior.
Yeah. Man. Who's his dad?
Dale Carter, I think, yeah. Right?
He's been playing good.
He is.
He's been playing great.
He is his son. Best ball all 4 years.
It's like that new Dr. Pepper commercial they have. It's that kid who's the Tech fan or whatever. His parents are State fans. You are my son.
You are.
That's Dale looking at Nigel after his last two performances.
Like looking at him like the Lion King. Everything the sun touches, my son.
Fantastic. So, yeah, just crazy. Just, again, the unsung heroes coming through. The guys whose names you'd have to remember coming up big. Talked a lot about yesterday. Obviously, one of the best defensive performances we've seen out of Tennessee in quite some time. I would say, I don't know, and any of y'all can jump in on this too here, but I don't know. Just real quick off the top of my head, we made a lot of comparisons to last year's Kentucky win and the way the defense stepped up big against a borderline top 10 team, against the best running back at the time in the SEC and Benny Snell, all that jazz. A Kentucky team that ended up winning 10 games. You know, defense came up big in that one. What was a better defensive performance? Was it Kentucky just because of how that team was, or was it Mississippi State because of what you've been through this season and just – the pure numbers. Again, 10 tackles for loss, 7 sacks, 3 interceptions. Because I'm thinking Saturday might have been the best defensive performance under Jerry Pruitt. I think it might edge out Kentucky.
Period. I just think from what you said, a stat standpoint, I mean, this defense absolutely played lights out from beginning to end. And to hold Kylin Hill to only what? It was
13 yards.
On 11 carries?
11 carries.
That's unheard of, man. And if they can play like that week in and week out, guys, I mean, outside of Alabama, I really don't see another loss on the schedule.
So, Stetson, did you get to finish your piece talking about how you feel about the game, or did we cut you off on accident?
You cut me off.
Sorry about that.
Sorry to cut you off, Stetson.
Finish your thoughts on the win, Stetson. The floor is yours.
It was a boring game, not going to lie. Yeah. But it was good to see not only our defense step up, but to watch – the offensive line just grinded out. That's by far the best game I've seen the offensive line play all year. They were just pounding the ball down Mississippi State's defensive line throat. I mean, I saw a video on Twitter yesterday about Trey Smith just shoving a guy 5 yards back on a 3rd and 9 for, I think it was Tim Jordan or it might have been Ty Chandler, to get a first down. But he's shoving them 5 yards down the field, and that's just good to see, just considering as the year goes on, the better the defense or the better the offensive line play gets, and that'll carry us probably not during the Alabama game, but through the rest of the year, through the games like South Carolina, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, stuff like that. So that was definitely positive. Defense looked good. 3 picks. I mean, when you hold the leading rusher in the SEC to 13 yards, you can't complain at all. It was a great game.
No, yeah, absolutely was all the way around too. And again, it's still Tuesday. I'm not trying to look ahead to Saturday the whole time, but we do know what's coming. We do know what's coming. I was thinking about this yesterday as well. You know, it was about this time last year you had that first big win of Pruitt's tenure down at Jordan-Hare over Auburn. Well, what happened the next week? You had to play damn Alabama. Damn it.
It always works like that.
As Tim Priest
it?
Would say, damn it. What couldn't be Alabama the week prior? Why can't you get these wins coming after Alabama? Why's it always have to be right there? I'd like to get back-to-back conference wins for once. When's the last time that happened? I guess Florida, Georgia? No, it would have been Kentucky, Missouri, 2016. Still been 3 years.
Wow.
Is that too much to ask just to get back-to-back conference wins? I guess it is.
I think it's possible later in the year.
Well, sure, and especially if you would like to do the miracle work of going to a bowl game, you will have to do
it. Yeah, you'll have to win 2 or 3 straight at a time.
Yeah, you would have to at least get 2. So, I don't know. We'll cross that bridge when we get there, I guess. We have ALCS Game 3 going on as we speak right now. This one already halfway over. This is right in the top of the 5th. Let's see. So the Astros have a 2-0 lead. Got one out. I think this stream's a little bit behind. I think they're about to get one on first right here. So the Astros trying to get back-to-back wins where the Yankees take a 2-1 lead. Stetson, since you're in here, you're a big baseball guy. Touch on this a little bit just because it is a championship series for both AL and NL going on right now. Natitude, man. It's back in a big way. The Nationals all of a sudden just come out, and they're just shellacking the Cardinals. They have a 3-0 advantage in the NLCS. If the Cardinals want to move on to the World Series, they're going to have to do something only the 0-4 Red Sox have done. That's overcome a 0-3 deficit. What's the deal with the Nats?
I think the Cardinals waited or wanted to score all their runs against the Braves Game 5 because – Have they scored a run this whole series?
They had one last night. It was unearned. Okay. So
I don't. It makes me so mad just considering the Braves lost how they should, and this I know the series with the Nats and the Braves would be a lot better than this. Just because not even just because the Nationals are coming out here and just beating up on the Cardinals, but the Braves and the Nats play all the time. So that's. You never know how that series is going to go. But to watch the Nats do what they're doing to the Cardinals makes me mad. Considering that in the NHL, I watched our division rivals in the Blues go all the way to the championship and win it. Now I'm fixing to watch the Braves division rivals go or basically are one win away from the World Series. So, tough time.
Can you... That's interesting to think about the Preds for just a second there, Stets. I'm glad you brought that up. Since Atlanta doesn't have an NHL team anymore since the Thrashers moved up to become the second iteration of the Jets, does that mean that the Preds, just because they're one of the closer teams, do they just attract the Atlanta sports curse energy, or is it the fact that they're in Tennessee? Do they attract like equal amount of Tennessee and Atlanta sports
curse?
Yeah,
it's a good mix of both.
Oh, great. Fantastic.
It's my fault, man.
Oh, the Preds, just wrong place geographically. Wrong place geographically. You cannot escape that there. But, I mean, I don't know. We shall see what happens. This is talking about NLCS, though. That I couldn't root for either team. How could I do that?
I will say, I think it's funny that so last series, the Braves would – or actually the Cardinals got mad at the Braves on numerous occasions for, like, Acuna bat flipping or what. He does a Euro step when he hits a home run when he's passing third base, and that pissed off, like, Carlos Martinez and Yadier Molina and all their pitchers. So, like, they came out and said stuff, and then now – Acuna and Soto are good friends, obviously, because they're both just stars, young stars. And Soto last night, when Flaherty was pitching, he got walked by him and did a bat flip on the walk. Just, I don't know if it's – they're probably having more of just the Cardinals complaining about what other people do. But Soto's over here bat flipping on a walk, which I think is just absolutely hilarious.
Does that fall under baseball's umbrella of let the boys play or whatever?
Yeah, exactly.
It is?
Yeah, that's exactly what it's doing.
Is that what the slogan is, let the boys play? Or
yeah, let the kids play?
Yeah, that's like the motto or whatever of the year, just to kind of let young players have a little add a little flavor to the game, because traditionally there's so many unwritten rules, and baseball's notorious for just kind of stifling all sorts of, you know, expression. Because, you know, everyone's got to be an old codger and follow all the unwritten rules. But, yeah, they're trying to let them be a little more animated this year.
I like it.
Yeah, I mean, anything to make any sport more fun, especially baseball now in the current year, they need stuff like that. I mean, they really do. Is it safe to say every Wednesday ALCS, they're going to take care of the Nats?
I think you could say that, but also the – it's hard if the Nationals go on to win it. It's hard to rule them out, just considering they got Corbin, Strasburg, and Scherzer, who they're going to just stroll out there all through probably all seven games. So not saying that if the Astros go on to win this that they're not an advantage with Greinke, Cole, and Verlander, but it'll be an interesting series with great pitching.
And the Nationals' bullpen has come around, too, the other thing. Like, at the beginning of the season, what had everyone convinced they weren't even going to make the playoffs was their weak bullpen. And now they have Doolittle and Rodney and everyone else in their bullpen consistently just coming in and shutting teams down.
Yeah.
Well, that was Talking Baseball here on Overtime. Glad you can join us here. Switch back over. Talking Vols coming up next here. We will touch on some Vols football, obviously. Got some little honors rolling in for three Tennessee players, actually, according to Pro Football Focus. Three Vols named to the PFF College Team of the Week. You know, Pro Football Focus loves some Tennessee players.
Love some Vols.
They have for the longest time. And I know it's all analytics-based, but it still made me scratch my head for a while. But I guess this week, you know, especially defensive side of the ball, people did step up in a big way. We'll touch on that. And also, fellas, since it's about 2 weeks away, fall hoops? Is it hoop night? Hoop night!
Let's do it, man.
We have SEC media preseason basketball. All SEC teams, player of the year predictions, and of course the conference standings preseason-wise. We'll tell you where the SEC media has the Vols when it comes to hoops. Touch on that on the other side. If you would like to call the show tonight, just call 865-546-8200, 546-8200. That's the number for the Next Door Home Group hotline. Hitting the first break of overtime. We'll be back on Fan Run Radio after this. Football Focus loves the Vols. A trio of Tennessee football players were named to the Pro Football Focus College SEC Team of the Week after Tennessee got its first SEC win on Saturday over Mississippi State. Player on offense and two on defense. On offense, of course, because he was also co-offensive lineman of the week in the SEC. Trey Smith, love to see it. on defense. He had Daryl Taylor, had 2 sacks. Finally had him showing up. That was fantastic to see. And Malcolm Harris's favorite player.
Oh, yeah.
Nigel Sunnedale Warrior.
Man, I've been there since day one, man. Been a supporter since.
Never wavered.
Never wavered at all. Never.
That's good to see. That's good to see.
That's awesome, man.
UT Sports has a little bit more on the right up here. Trey Smith led an offensive line that allowed. Did y'all notice this, too? We've been talking a lot about how the offensive line has looked vastly improved this season.
Yes.
I mean, it really has. And I think that's really fallen by the wayside just because of the losses that we've suffered. But we only gave up 1 sack. And, of course, I think a lot of that was due to JG holding on to the ball for a while, trying to make something happen with his legs. But only 1 sack was allowed. 190 rushing yards gained against Bob Shoup's defense. Bob Shoup leaving Neyland Stain with a loss. He probably felt right at home.
Some things never change.
Nobody's going to run on Tennessee, and I bet you said no one's going to run on Mississippi State either. Oh, Bob. Old Robert.
I bet he didn't expect Juwan Jennings and Maurer to bust out 20-plus yard runs by themselves, though, either.
Probably didn't. Because
that was at least 45 or 50 of those yards.
Yeah.
It was still funny when so Maurer had been out for the longest time. I tweeted out the same thing. At like middle of the fourth quarter, Brian Maurer still the leading rusher for the entire game. You know, on 2 teams that include solid running backs and Todd Chandler and Tim Jordan, and the SEC's leading rusher, Colin Hill. Brian Maurer, after being decapitated, still led the entire game with 41 yards rushing for the longest time before Jordan and Chandler busted out some big runs.
What about Jordan getting so many carries?
I think he had
19 or 16. I can't remember.
Getting a lot of carries. Eric Gray was getting earlier in the year. Eric Gray only got 2 carries.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's going on there. I really don't.
I think we saw that we could shove it down their throats, and with a guy like Tim Jordan who can get the hard yards, he was able to do that.
Sure. I hope this is anything for Eric Gray just not showing up the rest of the season, whether it be by design or not. I don't want him to be Kamara'd. I don't. I'm not drawing comparisons. I'm just saying I know there's a lot of talent there. I just don't want us to get to, like, year 3 in his career and it be like, what could have been?
Nah, I don't think this coaching staff is going to let that happen.
God, I hope not.
They can't. Surely not.
I'm not going to think so yet. Anyway, back to focusing on the positive here. So, of course, held Mississippi State to season lows in points with 10. Total yards in 267.
Wow.
Nigel Warrior finishes with 4 tackles, 2 pass breakups, and 1 of Tennessee's 3 interceptions. This is Nigel Warrior's 2nd appearance on the PFF College SEC Team of the Week this season. I think the first one was Chattanooga. I'm pretty sure it was.
It was.
Okay, but, you know, whatever. It's like the same thing. You know, Mississippi State, not a good football team. But isn't it good that at least you show up against a not good football team? You do what you're supposed to do?
Facts.
It was the same thing when you're playing Chattanooga. I'm not trying to disrespect Mississippi State that bad. But still, you know, it's better than, you know, losing to BYU, who right now in the season, not a good football team. It's better than that. At least you beat the bad football teams. At least you look good against the bad football teams here. Again... It's 2 defensive players, Daryl Taylor, Nigel Warrior, and Trey Smith as well. There's a little bit of the write-up about Daryl Taylor. Now with 14 sacks during his Tennessee career, Taylor is 2nd in the SEC among active players in career sacks. He is only trailing Florida's Jabari Zuniga by 4.5 sacks. He's got 18.5. And I don't know how long he's going to be out. He did have to leave the LSU game.
Did he really?
Mm-hmm. It don't look like it's going to be like a season long.
Okay. Thing. And Zuniga's a first rounder.
Oh, easily.
Yeah.
Easily. How about this here, too? Did you know that Daryl Taylor 6 career forced fumbles? They're also tied for the most among active SEC players. The 7 sacks that Tennessee totaled, most in an SEC game since 08 at Vanderbilt. Coincidentally, also 2010 win to Tennessee. Don't look at me like that, Malcolm. My brain works like that.
I was just sitting there thinking. I'm just like, it's unbelievable. It is unbelievable.
2018 against Kentucky the next week. That was Fulmer's last game. I should remember that.
Score. Yeah.
Got carried out on his shoulders here. So good job for the 3 Vols named to Pro Football Focus SEC team of the week. Congrats. I mean, those are three upperclassmen too. Especially when we talk about Nigel Warrior and Daryl Taylor. Those are guys we've been waiting. We've been waiting to have huge senior campaigns.
Yeah.
I hope this is the start of something that's going to be a good back half to their final collegiate season.
1-5 and 2-4 looks so different. You know,
feel
especially going before
different.
Bama, because yeah. Knowing you would go to 1-6 automatically.
I mean, that would have just been the nail in the coffin, I think, on this season for
and
me.
And it doesn't get any easier for Mississippi State either, because they got to go to, I don't know if they play at home or away, but they still got to play LSU this week. Oh. So
it is at home. Huh. It's not going to make a difference.
No.
That's not going to make a difference. They're going to get torn to shreds.
Good luck.
Now, you watch. I'd feel better about myself next week if Mississippi State still loses like they're supposed to. What if Colin Hill gets like 150 yards rushing against a very solid LSU defense? I'd feel a whole lot. I'd feel even more better.
Yeah. Same.
You know, why not? Why not?
I mean, every time he got the ball on Saturday, we were swarming right
He had no him. Lane. I mean, he had zero lanes.
I think they said his longest rush of the day was 4 yards, which is – it just reminded me exactly what we did against Benny Snell last year.
And what was Brian Maurer's long run? 29?
Something like that.
Stetson, look that up real quick while I'm about to switch gears to basketball. About what was give me Benny Snell's stats against us last year, what his longest run was. Because we did contain him. Now, we contained Benny Snell. We shut down Colin Hill. I really did not expect that. But while we're getting that looked up, let's switch gears to Tennessee basketball here. So the SEC released its men's basketball preseason All-SEC teams today. And, of course, with All-SEC teams, that comes with predictions for player of the year and the predicted order of finish in the conference. The Vols this year only have one All-SEC team selection. That is senior guard Lamonte Turner, second teamer. The disrespect to Jordan Bowden. Ouch.
They're going to stop disrespecting Jordan Bowden, man. I don't get it. I really don't get it.
You know Bowden don't care. You know Bowden loves, you know Bowden loves seeing that.
Yeah.
He loves seeing that there. Shout to Lamonte, though. Again, it was staying on the steam of people who have been in programs for a long time. And, well, this is different for Lamonte because we've seen great things at Lamonte Turner.
Correct.
He could have a monumental season running point this year. I cannot wait to see it. Are we underestimating Lamonte Turner as just a pure point guard? We know he can score. You know, we know he's a great teammate. I'm talking about just like, can he do something reminiscent of Bone last year? That's what I'm wondering.
I think so. I think even better on the defensive end.
Yeah, he's really good defensively.
That's just, I mean, defense always is what Coach Barnes preaches first, and that turns into offense. And Lamonte fits the mold of what Coach Barnes is trying to do. And how he's trying to have his program molded.
So. Did y'all see where Lamonte Turner is also one of 9 players to receive at least one vote for SEC preseason player of the year?
Wow.
Yeah.
Bowden was also named to
the Jerry West shooting guard of the year watch list.
That's a top 20. Same thing for Lamonte Turner. He's in the top 20 of the Bob Cousy Award watch list, which Bone was in the running for that for a while last year as well. I'm trying to get the entire order of finish here. Preseason SEC Player of the Year. This is going to feel nice to hear, though, by the way. Florida's Kerry Blackshear. Damn it. We got played so bad. Rip Barnes got finessed so bad by Kerry Blackshear.
Knew he was coming here.
Why'd he have to go to Florida? Who are the other schools in the running? I know Kentucky was in it for the longest time. Us, of course, Florida. Wasn't A&M a big player, too?
Yeah, because his coach was.
Damn it. That's okay. It's whatever. Wasn't who was the pick last year? I swear, wasn't it Kentucky? Not Washington, but Reed Travis. Wasn't it Reed Travis last year?
I think it might have been last year.
While I look up the rest of these preseason All-SEC picks, do we have Benny Snell's yards for last year?
81.
Okay, so a lot better.
It was a lot better stats, but he also had like 45, probably 50 of those in like the last
two drives. How many carries?
20.
Okay.
His longest rush was 19 yards, but that was like in the fourth quarter. So they contained them for the longest time.
I feel like, yeah, we left the gas. I was there. We left the gas a little bit in the second half, and they moved the ball a little bit. They tried to have some comeback effort, but, like, Terry Wilson kept throwing interceptions and kept fumbling.
Yeah.
I'm going to be really mad when Bowen beats us at quarterback, by the way. I'm just stating that for the record.
Do not do that.
Just stating it for the record. What else are you going to say, Mel?
Grant was the preseason last year. Believe so.
So, I guess Reed Travis was, like, first team All-SEC selection?
Yes. Right? Okay. Yes, All-SEC. First team.
Why do I feel like people thought he was going to be player of the year? I don't know. I must be misremembering that. But, yeah, no surprise, Grant, who was already defending conference player of the year, he ended up, of course, winning it again. Back to these media predictions, though. No shocker here. For the 9th year in a row, the Kentucky Wildcats picked to win the regular season. Snores. Get out of here. We know the media loves in some Kentucky. No shock there. Here's your first team All-SEC. So we already told you about Kerry Blackshear. Picked to win conference player of the year. He's a first teamer along with, let's see here, you have Anthony Edwards from Georgia, 5-star player. That's going to be great. Ashton Hagans, Kentucky. I feel like Ashton Hagans has been there for 40 years. I think he's only a junior. I mean, a junior is basically a 7th-year senior at Kentucky.
Literally, you have been – if you're there – if you're a senior at Kentucky, that's like a
– means you didn't play.
Yeah.
I just remember Ashton Hagans getting completely roasted in Knoxville last year. Mm-hmm. Completely roasted by Jordan Bone. You have Brennan Tyree of Ole Miss, and you also have Reggie Perry from Mississippi State. Again, someone else who I feel like has been there for a while. That's your first team. Lamonte Turner, 2nd-team All-SEC. And the 2nd team with him, you got Skylar Mays, LSU. You got a couple of Kentucky players. E.J. Montgomery is one of them. Kira Lewis Jr., Alabama. Isaiah Joe from Arkansas. How do you have the last name Joe?
That's like 2 first names, like Tanner Carson.
Yeah, but.
This was worse, though.
At least I'm not Tanner Joe.
That kind of has a nice ring to it.
Tanner Joe
Carson here.
My dad's name's Joe.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know a Joe, I don't think. I know a Joe.
You do?
Yeah.
You don't know a single Joseph?
I feel like everybody knows a Joseph or a Joe.
I know a Joseph.
Like, somehow. Or at least you got one. You're like, you're somewhat close family-ish. I don't know. Order of finish, Kentucky, of course, 1st. Florida's right behind them at 2nd. You have old Will Waste in LSU.
How is he still coaching? Am I tripping?
NCAA sucks. That's why. They might not be done with LSU, though. That's the thing.
Like, was he not caught by the FBI?
He didn't have to. Him and Sean Miller didn't have to testify. They ended up not testifying, and that's like the last we've heard of it. Now, of course, all the assistants, you know, all your former Auburn assistants, some former, like, Clemson people. I don't know where all these people were assistant coaches. Whoever was doing the dealings with Adidas trying to be
State.
The middlemen, yeah, NC State's one of them. They all got jail time, okay? But, like, the coaches, nah. Nah, no one's going to cop in that yet.
Okay.
Predicted 4th, Bruce and the War Eagles at 4th. Coming to number 5, though, your Tennessee Volunteers. Yes. Do you think this team feels disrespected by 5th? I think they do. You know that's the mentality this team has had. Ever since they were predicted 13th and won the damn thing, they've been disrespected.
That's why I don't really take stock in these, man. It's hard to now, especially because we've seen it, you know?
It was just like last year, too. We went from 13th preseason to 2nd, mm-hmm. Right behind Kentucky. I still felt like that made the team really disrespected. And they played like it for most of the year as well. How about coming right behind Tennessee in the first year under Nate Oates? The new coach from Buffalo, he got the Tide. You have Bama projected to finish 6th.
That's crazy. That's a little high.
I think it's a little high, too. No shocker, last place, though. Fandy.
I mean, they got Scottie Pippen Jr., don't they?
Mm-mm.
Who cares?
Pretty sure he maybe that's another player, but one of them ended up not going there and playing overseas to try and get his NBA stock up.
Bryce Drew, what a nerd. I'd love to shove him into a locker. Vanderbilt, hilarious. Konzo's 13th, by the way. They got Mizzou 13th. Konzo, your thoughts? Well, you know, 13th. You know, mean, we don't listen to the media or anything like that. Hands.
Hey, they Georgia at 9.
I feel like that might be lower than expected, especially with Anthony Edwards coming in.
Yeah.
That one player can make a huge difference.
I think that's a tournament team for sure to me. But we'll see.
I just think of Tom Crean's dumb face. Just the dumb expression on his face. Hit another break here, 865-546-8200-546-8200. Stick with basketball. I thought we were done talking NBA in China.
Man.
LeBron James has, he moves the needle on about anything. He certainly moved the needle here. Let's go ahead and open up Pandora's box on the other side. You're listening to Overtime. I need to correct myself from last segment. I completely forgot Vanderbilt fired Bryce Drew. They got Jerry Stackhouse running things now in Nashville. I guess that's just how relevant Vanderbilt basketball is now. Well, they finished, 9-23?
Did they win an SEC game?
No, they didn't. 0-18.
Oh, I saw a stat earlier. I sent it to one of my friends that's a Vanderbilt fan. They are 3-40 combined in football, men's basketball, and women's basketball. But in baseball, they were 59-12. So it's like polar opposite.
Well, they have a niche, I guess, that they're good at, and that's baseball. Mm-hmm. I just had to correct myself before somebody tweeted at me that Bryce Drew wasn't there anymore. So, yeah, you definitely have personalities in Tennessee coaching college basketball. Barnes, Penny, Stackhouse. Got Steve Forbes still running things up there in the Tri-Cities.
Nice.
Who am I missing? I feel like there's someone else I'm not mentioning.
I think you covered.
I think you covered all the main.
I mean, I didn't know there was anybody interesting at Chattanooga right now or not. I'm just trying to cover all the bases. But I guess that's it. That's your big three, at least right now, Barnes, Penny, and Stackhouse. Sticking with basketball here. Oh, boy. Here we go. Gonna have to spend a couple segments on this because we don't have a lot of time at this one. We will definitely stretch this at least two right here. Just when, man, we know how news cycles work.
Yeah.
And not just in regular news, but sports too. Things move very quickly now. And what was something we talked about pretty much almost every day last week, the whole Daryl Morey situation about his pro-Hong Kong tweet and then China's reaction, the NBA trying to make PR moves and end up making themselves one public enemy, number one, across all sides of political aisles, just people who don't really follow basketball a lot, what have you. Y'all kind of died down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, was it still talked about? Yeah, but not as much like every day.
Yeah.
And then, well, if anybody's going to make it the forefront of discussion again, it is LeBron Ramon James. And oh boy, did he move the needle.
Oh boy.
Let's read the first quote he did in this media gaggle last night. Did a little bit of a media session. So, quote LeBron, he believes, and I'm reading right from ESPN right here. This isn't some fake news website. This is right from ESPN here. LeBron James believes Houston Rockets GM Daryl Morey, quote, wasn't educated before he sent the tweet in support of here's the other thing, too, ESPN. You know Disney runs them when they say, in support of anti-government protesters in Hong Kong. Stop right there. No. That's not what that is there. I will digress, though. So the protesters in Hong Kong, that has damaged relations between China and the NBA. So this is the first time you spoke to the media since Morey sent the tweet. It's already been 11 days since he sent it, by the way. Feels like 11 years.
Oh my gosh, it feels like a
only
long
been
time.
11 days. So, first things first, he didn't make a comment specifically about China in the NBA situation. However, the comment that started this whole thing up again, and it's probably the fiercest it's been at this point, just because of who is saying it. So, he only talked about Morey's tweet and how it's jeopardized the relationship between China and the league, the owners, teams, and players. Here's more of the quote. I don't want to get into a verbal feud with Daryl Morey, but I believe he wasn't educated on the situation at hand, and he spoke. And so many people could have been harmed, not only financially, physically, emotionally, spiritually. So just be careful what we tweet and say and we do, even though, yes, we do have freedom of speech, but there can be a lot of negative that comes with that too. James was asked why he thinks Morey wasn't properly informed about the unrest in Hong Kong before he tweeted support for protesters. He, you know, got one report wanting him to explain his position, elaborate a little further. LeBron said, "Just my belief. I believe he was either misinformed or not really educated on the situation. And if he was, then so be it. I have no idea, but that's just my belief. Because when you say things or do things, if you are doing it and you know the people can be affected by it, and the families and individuals and everyone that can be affected by it, sometimes things can be changed as well. And also, social media is not always the proper way to go about things as well. But that's just my belief." So before we get to tweets that were sent out trying to have him clarify himself and try to backtrack, which actually ended up making the hole a little bit deeper as well. Huh, that's been a theme with the NBA's reaction to a lot of this, too. Just keep taking the hole a little bit here. And again, we can spread this out a little bit here, too. Clay Travis, public enemy number one, Malcolm Harris.
Man.
Turn it over to you a little bit here.
I'm on watch list. What's up, man?
Interesting day you had on Twitter, Malcolm.
Very interesting day I had on Twitter today,
just,
man.
Just wanted to send one reply to Clay, and then all of a sudden,
boy,
the mention's on fire.
My boy has an army behind him. You hear me?
Oh, you what's almost 700,000 followers?
Yeah.
Something like that.
They are no joke. A lot of nice things said.
So, yeah, I could imagine. I could imagine there, too. Are you still getting replies, by the way? Constantly.
Yeah, I kind of had to.
Turn off the notifications. Yeah. Usually smart anyway.
Yeah, you know.
That's what I do anyway here. But, Malcolm, I know you're a big LeBron fan.
I am.
Initial reaction to this?
It was dumb. It was dumb on LeBron's part. I feel like he, you know, we were talking about it to Stetson when we were outside the lobby, and I feel like he should have just really not spoke on this. But regardless, man, this is the first time in 17 years there's just been a huge blemish, especially since, like, the decision, I'd say, you know? And LeBron, he couldn't have spoke on this. He would have been scrutinized. He could have spoke on this. He would have been scrutinized, regardless of what he did. But I just do not, especially calling somebody who, you know, you don't become an NBA GM and you're not educated. I never think that's a way to go about your business, is to call somebody out like that.
Where does Daryl Morey have degrees again?
What's believe it, Northwestern and MIT.
Yeah.
They don't just hand out degrees from MIT and Northwestern either.
Yeah, I mean, that's, to me, that showed me, like, LeBron, hey, like, come on now.
I agree with that statement, but also, like, I agree with it some sort.
Yeah.
Just considering it was uneducated, just, I mean, obviously you can tweet whatever you want to, but also as a GM, you got to be careful what you tweet.
Yeah.
And because you're held to a higher standard. You're one of the main guys at that spot. And so, like, I agree. LeBron maybe went or said too much, but it also kind of is true as well.
Justin, what's up, man? Do you think that Daryl Morey was miseducated?
Yeah, I have to jump in there too a little bit. You shouldn't be afraid to tweet things against authoritarian communist regimes. That's just my take. I do get what you're trying to say, though.
I don't think he's uneducated, but I think it's not smart of him to tweet something like that.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't a question of – I mean, obviously it was a bad business decision for the NBA, and the NBA is going to feel these ramifications for a while.
Certainly.
But that's not what the question is. I mean, to LeBron is – what LeBron is saying is that Morey shouldn't have sent the tweet because he was misinformed on the situation, and then that situation put some – adverse circumstances upon the teams that were over there in China. I know that was part of LeBron's problem, was, you know, the Lakers were over there and the Nets were over there and a couple of other teams. But LeBron pretty much admits that he's the miseducated one, because he says, I don't think he knew about the situation. And then he goes on to say, but that's just what I believe. And if – I don't know. This is –
Well, let's pick it up a little bit on their other side here. Stretch this out to end hour one. 865-546-8200, 546-8200, of course, is our number to hop on the Nextdoor Home Group hotline here. Wrap this up and wrap up hour one on the other side. Stick with us. You are listening to Overtime. Real quick, last segment of Hour 1 of Overtime, brought to you by Eli Corman, the Nextdoor Home Group, Keller Williams Realty. If you are in the market for putting your current home on the real estate market here in Knoxville, or if you are trying to get your next home, Eli Corman, the Nextdoor Home Group, that is your go-to source. They bring you the Nextdoor phone lines here at Fan Run Radio, which you can call at 865-546-8200. The Nextdoor Home Group, no gimmicks, just results, have been rated in the top 5% of realtors in the Knoxville market for the past 4 years. They're going to give you a fantastic, fun experience. You're going to have money left in your pocket as well. Extremely great customer service as well. It's unmatched in the real estate market when it comes to their negotiation and customer service skills. To give them a call, it's 865-233-9461, or just go online to nextdoorhomes.com. You can browse all the listings right there. Guys, LeBron shouldn't have said anything. I think this is what it all comes down to. He should have just said no comment.
I mean, he would have been scrutinized either way, though.
Yeah.
To me.
I feel like he's scrutinized worse, though, right now.
You're not – no, well, and you're not wrong, Malcolm, but he – maybe – I don't know. Him having, like, a solid opinion either way, though, that was obviously going to create more of a reaction.
Yeah.
Now, of course, anybody would have said, oh, no comment's a comment at all, but that would have been more speculation, though.
Well, I think he didn't say anything initially because he was over there. And
yeah, he was.
That makes a lot of sense. Like, if you're over there, you know, you're just trying – honestly, at that point, you're just trying to, like, get back home in a crazy situation. And I don't think that – I think he just came out – like, the way that he spoke, obviously, his emotions were kind of in it because his teammates and his team, obviously, the – like, their time in China was very much affected. A lot of things got canceled. Things did not go according to plan. Kyle Kuzma had a bunch of endorsement deals that pretty much got no publicity that were supposed to be, you know, making all these headlines while they were over there. So he saw his teammates and him being directly affected by this tweet. And I think that's what played into his response. And that being said, I think that his response was a little over the top because – I don't think you should criticize someone for no matter what form of media comes out in. I mean, yeah, Daryl Moore is the GM of the Rockets, and horrible business decision, obviously. It's going to lose the NBA and the Rockets and everyone a lot of money. But it keeps coming back to people are saying that Morey just shouldn't have said it because of who he is. And, I mean, LeBron said that he thinks that Morey was misinformed. He said, I believe he was either misinformed or not really educated on the situation. And then right after that, LeBron says, I have no idea, but that is just my belief. And he says, when you say or do things, if you don't know the people that are going to be affected by it, you know, there's consequences of that. And then later in LeBron's tweets, he says, I do not believe there was any consideration for the consequences and ramifications of the tweet. I'm not discussing the substance. Others can talk about that. So he's not saying, you know, Morey didn't have – he's not really talking about, you know, support of Hong Kong protests. He's just saying that, you know, me and my teammates, we had a tough week because of this tweet, and I think his response being a little anti-Daryl Morey and anti-free speech – was a result of that.
The tweets that LeBron sent out, we'll end this hour on this, and we'll probably just have to pick this up at the start of hour two. A lot to tackle here. LeBron's tweets is really what made things a little bit worse here. I think the second one, here's his two tweets after the statement got out. This is the first one. He said, let me clear up the confusion. I do not believe there was any consideration for the consequences and ramifications of the tweet. I'm not discussing the substance. Others to talk about that. And this is the second one, though. Yeah, this is the second one that has, like, he's almost got – I've never seen LeBron James tweet almost get ratioed. This is almost getting close to getting ratioed, the second one.
Yeah.
My team in this league, and Justin, you referred to it just a second ago. My team in this league just went through a difficult week. I think people need to understand what a tweet or statement can do to others. And I believe nobody stopped and considered what would happen. Could have waited a week to send it.
And that's what makes me think he really only is kind of upset the way he is because they were over there. If the Lakers didn't have a scheduled trip to China, maybe LeBron either doesn't say anything or has a softer stance on it. I think he was just upset to see himself and his teammates really adversely affected by the whole situation.
Let's pick this up a little bit, hour two, and we'll wrap it up to start hour two. It's a whole lot to get into here on this Tuesday, but that does it for hour one of Overtime. 865-546-8200 to hop on the Nextdoor Home Group hotline. We'll pick it back up with hour number two right after this.